Welcome to the Hyper Fat Show, where we believe unlimited growth in business and life is created by surrounding yourself with people who have been where you are going. Learning from others allows you to compress time and grow hyper fast. And now, here are your hosts, Kerry Scholl and Dan Lesniak. Kerry and Dan are real estate developers, best-selling authors, billion-dollar agents, and million-dollar agent makers. And now, get ready to grow hyper fast. In today's episode of the Hyper Fast Agent Podcast, you will get a seat at the table as Grant Cardone gives investment advice over lunch. Dan and nine business leaders who attended the Hyper Fast Agent Bootcamp in September had the opportunity to pick Grant's brain on how to win when investing in real estate. So if you have thought about investing in real estate, pull up a chair and listen as we go straight into the conversation.
And then bought a single family. The sisters moved out. I owned it like 4 months. Everything was good. I was calculating that I was going to be a real estate tycoon. And stock market down 500 points. Yeah. This point. Mm-hmm. Treasury's falling apart. This big. Sold the single family because I realized when they moved out, I had to go back to renting. The model was not one door. The model was I need a bunch of doors. So my next deal would be 3 years later.
Mm-hmm. And something is happening.
It was 38 units.
38 units?
Yeah.
And we're what?
So I went from 1 to 38.
Okay. Did you use your own? How'd you get other people's money?
All my money's other people's money because the other businesses provide the money that's in a savings. You have in a savings account right now? What do you have in savings?
Right now, about 100.
That's other people's money?
Yep.
You're just not using it. So other people's money is not investors. It's the money you already have from your main business. That's other people's money too. You didn't have it. You weren't born into the world with 100 grand. You accumulated that. So I would get rid of the 100. I'm going to tell you, the quickest hack is this. Get rid of the 100, and he will figure out, if you already know how to save money and store it, he will figure out how to go replenish it. His financial thermostat is already set at 100. He'll go to zero and go back to 100 again. He'll accumulate the next 100 faster than he did the first this 100. Mm-hmm. So he should go buy like a $300,000 or $400,000 deal, or put 100 in, go find nine guys to invest with you to match your 100. That's $1 million deal, buys you a $4 million piece of property that you control.
Yep.
Every real estate agent in the country should be doing this. You're already in the space, you're looking at deals. It's a natural
fit.
Huh?
It's a natural fit.
Totally. It's like you're doing it. It's not. It doesn't require extra energy or time. You're already in the space. Hey, let's toast this guy for putting this together.
Yeah.
It takes
Thank
a
you.
Lot. Okay. I tell you, they spent more than you have in savings just to get me here. It takes a lot of courage. Like I always admire the guys that do these things. Like super admiration to you for you guys stepping up and doing this, and because they believe in themselves and their business more than the money they've stored. And that's how you expand. They're a perfect example of expansion. Give people a reason to come together. Somebody in that room is going to do business with them. But he's got to get hundreds and hundreds of people for 6, 8, 9, or 10 to want to do something of significance with him. And then he'll have to do it again.
So since you met with him, what was that, 2 months ago?
Well, End of September.
End of September?
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, you just come up with this plan. All right, this is all the shit that he's telling me to do, that Gary's telling me to do. I'm just going to implement it.
So we met with Gary back in August. Oh, this would be cool to, like, get a big guy.
Right.
But I wanted to be tied more to real estate. Mm-hmm. Gary's not a real estate guy.
Right.
And I wanted to be more hardcore sales. So first person we call.
Uh-huh. So you get a hold of him? And then how was it that you decided to start implementing all this stuff? What
led we just decided let's get them, find out what it would take, and figure it out later. Yeah.
Like when I look at what they did, they committed first, and then there's a little bit of trust in it, right? But it's not really trust, because if you value money, then you're not going to, it's not about faith. It's about, I value money, so I am now going to protect my investment.
We were late to the game. People call up speakers, everyone else. When is this? In 6 months? And I was like, no, it's in like 60 days.
Crazy. But we sold
almost 350 tickets in 47 days.
Yes. Yeah. That's unbelievable. Really great job.
That's awesome.
Yes.
What made you say yes?
Who do you do it with, Jared?
Jared and Todd.
Yeah, they probably said yes for me, actually. I think they did, right? So then they came down and met with us. I mean, we put a whole package together for them to figure out how to market it. The intrinsic value they'll get, the value, the brand lift that they'll get from this is not financial, though. It's probably a loser. I mean, just based on what you paid me.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if we'll make money from coaching from this, but...
But I mean, that room right now, if it stopped right now, that was a loser. Right. But that's not the way they're thinking. They're thinking about... Exactly.
We've had 9 agents join the team in that 47 days, and for some reason, I have no idea if it's tied to this, our December closings went from 20 last year to 85 currently. Wow. We're still adding more. So, yeah.
So now...
That's like an extra $500,000.
What a marketing guy is going to do, or a metrics person, or an accounting person, they'll now want to confuse this and say, we need to tie everything exactly into what happened so we know ROI on this and that. You shouldn't do all that. They should just look at what happened. Hey, man, my stats went up. So they should go back and try to duplicate everything. Oh, I hired Grant. I went and talked to Gary. I didn't wear my underwear that day. I mean, we planted petunias. Like, whatever you did, I'm not, as a business person, I'm not trying to measure, I'm not trying to tie specific activities to a response or to a win. Let me just do the combination of things, repeat that again. And that's one of the biggest mistakes I see people make, is they don't repeat what worked.
Now, you know? as a new agent, with only a couple deals under my belt, do you have any advice specifically on some good practices that you should have from day one, or you should just continue doing over and over again?
Sign up for our coaching.
Now, I'll tell you this, I'm not even in real estate. I don't have a real estate license, but I do financial planning, and I work with a lot of real estate agents. I actually referred agent to him. We just met because I saw Grant's advertisement on Facebook about him bringing, you know, Grant here. So I registered for it just to come out, meet you, of course, because I met you before in Chicago. Uh-huh. So I show people how to park their money in life insurance and use that to leverage and buy properties and stuff like that, and stuff, leave it in a savings account. So you kind of win both ways.
Right. You see, if you look at what he's doing, right, he's got an opportunity in the room for more business than anybody else in the room. Financial planners go hang out with financial planners. Instead, what did he do? He said, I'm going to infiltrate the real estate gang. Mm-hmm. The whole room's prospects. So most time, the financial planners stay with the financial planners. The accountants go with the accountants. The legal guys go to the legal things. The stockbrokers hang out with the stockbrokers. Real estate people, the Baptists hang out with the Baptists and the Catholics. And then they all shrink.
Sure.
Rather than, like, and that's what I would tell you to do. Like, you got a couple deals under your belt. Just look how powerful you are, that you're already... How long you been in real estate?
Like 4 months.
Yeah, 4 months, and you're sitting down with the people that are successful.
Absolutely.
It's amazing.
Yeah. I got a question for you. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, so I just said I appreciate that.
Okay, cool. Yeah. So obviously it's really tough as far as just, you know, from a transactional standpoint, representing buyers and sellers on a large scale and getting wealthy doing specifically that. We can all scale our businesses and get to the number one guy here, what, you make $2 million, clear $2 million, whatever it was. Yeah. So what do you recommend as far as, you know, some of us have been in the business for a while, so we got big databases, access to investors, getting other people's money. What's the quickest, best route in order to get to, let's just say, $100 million, $10 million, whatever the number is, but whatever would be considered wealthy?
So, you know, nobody ever asked me that question, by the way. They didn't ask me the question that the first person asked, but, you know, just do the math. Mm. Like, you already know that real estate agents don't make $25 million a year.
Right.
No. Like, it's just,
it doesn't,
you know,
matter, right.
So you got to, first job I had did not make, the only way to make $25 million a year would have been to own 25 locations where I worked. You had to be the owner to make that kind of money. So in the beginning, I just can't go from where I'm at, barely employable, to running businesses that do worth $25 million. So I had to use the business that I hated, that everybody around me hated, everybody in the space hated it. Like, if I just described a business, everybody that works in the business kind of hates it. They hate the customers. They hate the time. They hate their hours.
Car dealership.
Huh?
Car dealership.
It was a car dealership. Yeah. But if I said this to a bunch of mortgage brokers, they'd be like, are you talking about my business?
Yeah.
If I talk to real estate, are you talking about my business? You know, masseuses, you talking about my business? It's all the same thing. You're trading time for money with limits.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
So, but if you use that money,
and say, hey, I'm going to get a second flow, mm-hmm. and then a third flow. And then one day you're like, hey, I can leave this one now because I want to put more attention on these other flows. And then just back into the deal, dude. What's if the number's 10 million or 100, just start doing math. Mm-hmm. Like on the way over here today, I'm doing math on 2019.
So for your horizontal income flows besides real estate, is it in any other types of businesses? Or
oh, yeah, totally. Yeah. Like there's a license think program we have. You know, I want to do, so next year I'm like, I want to do, I mean, this isn't like public data, but there's so few of us, I'll just tell you. So it's like, I want to do 2,000 deals at 25 grand. That's 50 million. That's how I do math. I just do big chunk math.
Okay.
Okay, I want to do 2,000 apartments. 2,000 apartments, 250 a door, it's 500 million. I need $135 million to do that. Just put big stuff on paper. Mm-hmm. What's the other thing? I want 1,000 units at my Cardone University at $2,500 annually. Net to us, it's $25 million. So I just do chunks, and then I go back to my staff, and I'm like, this is what I want for 2019. This is what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
All roads lead to these three or four or five things.
What's the main source that...
So it could be listings. Like for her, it'd be like, hey, I want 40 listings, mm-hmm. you know?
So what's the main vertical income stream that feeds everything else? Is it the sales? Is it the Cardone University sales? Is it the cash flow from all the other properties?
I mean, they're all. I mean, I don't look at it like that, mm-hmm. right? I'm like, my job is just, even if I'm broke, like my job is to figure out how do I get the money to do these things.
Exactly.
Okay. I'm not looking at expenses when I do this. I'm not looking at a budget. I'm not looking at who's going to do it. There's no plan. Now, this is where me and Gary Vee are different, because Gary Vee's like, you know, I don't know what his strategy is, but he doesn't care if it funds. I need money to do deals. I can't buy $500 million worth of real estate flipping shoes on eBay.
Right.
So, and he's not going to buy the New York Jets doing that either.
No.
So there's got to be a plan. There's some part of that plan he's not telling people about, because that's going to take, $2 or $3 billion, maybe four.
He said he's going to flip.
Stephen Ross is one of the investors.
He's going to flip undervalued brands like Hilfiger, K-Swiss. Like that's why he did K-Swiss, because he felt like they were undervalued. Mm-hmm. So he wants mm-hmm. to make them cool. So he's doing these consortiums with rappers and other people who are in the urban culture, and then he's going
to. And those companies will have to sell products and make money.
Yes.
So he will depart from his advice.
Yes.
The moment he gets a company.
Yeah. I mean,
and his advice to the individual is, don't monetize. Give your content for free. The moment K-Swiss becomes dependent upon investors want to know where's the revenue. You can't just give shoes out. Somebody's got to pay for that. The rappers will want a piece of something. They'll either want money. It doesn't matter how attractive Gary Vee is. Steve Harvey, I got to have some money, because I got NBC paying me money. And then I got this group paying me money. And everybody wants to give these, particularly the bigger these people get, the more money they want. And so you guys have bills to pay, right? You're going to have to pay YouTube if you want to run ads. You got to pay Facebook. And you can't run one ad. It's going to be another one and another one and another one.
When you have big pools of money like that, how do you tackle big differences of opinion, or the prospect of a big difference of opinion among your investor pool?
We don't value a lot of opinions.
So that they don't try to leverage their
zero.
Money into control?
Zero. No, there's no.
There's no control on the...
Zero. Like, I had a guy give me $20 million, he's a billionaire, great guy, gave me $20 million, just look, leave me alone. Yeah, no problem, man. It's not about what I do. I invest in tech, and he's like, I you know, it's fine. It was no money for me. It was like a quarter.
Mm-hmm.
And then, seriously, it was like a quarter. And he's like, and then, like, 8 days later, I get a phone call from his guy. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da. I said, hey, man, this wasn't the deal, bro. Like, okay, I need this. I said, okay, fine. We gave it to him. And then 8 days later, third time, here's $20 million. And that to me, like of all the moves I made in my life and my career, like that's one of those things I'm most proud of, saying, here's your money back. I don't want your money.
Right.
I want to do this my way. I don't want to be, I'm not going to kiss the ring. I will kiss the ring,
but
I don't want to be forced to kiss the ring, you know, and I don't want to be forced to take money from people. So, you know, the deal is, hey, you want to invest with me? You have zero say-so. I buy whatever I want. I sell it when I want. There's one guy that knows what he's doing here, and everybody else gets to ride along. I don't tell these guys how to fly the plane. There's no opinions. Like, they're the professionals. I'm in the back yelling.
Get on the center line.
I tell them where to go. I tell them where to go. Hey, we're going to go to blah, 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 but I'm not flying the plane, right? So same thing at my company. Like, if we're wrong at my company, we're Grant wrong. I want to be Grant wrong, not team wrong. So I know this is not a popular opinion, but teams are wrong most of the time. Groups are wrong almost all the time. And the masses are never right.
Tried and true right there.
Yeah.
Okay, how do you feel knowing, because I'm in Manhattan, and I know most people say that real estate is a step-up process, like they start at 300,000, then they're doing 500, then they're doing a million. Everybody's goal is a million. My goal is like the $10 to $16 million deals. And I just lost out on a couple people. Uh-huh. This year's been a bunch of losses, but all my $1 million are, that's no problem. How do you recommend the marketing? Do you change it when you're going after the like $500,000 deals versus the $16 million? Like if you're approaching a billionaire versus somebody that's making $300,000 a year? And that would probably apply to every marketplace in different numbers.
Yeah.
But do you market and advertise to them differently? Or have the same conversation?
You know, like we just like, I don't think about how much money somebody has. I think about having 8 billion, everybody knowing me. Then I get everybody. The big money's really not on Facebook and Instagram. Like, this is one thing, like Billy, me and Billy, I was like, oh, me and Billy should just have an argument on stage. Because it would have been unbelievable. Because then you get all these different viewpoints, right?
Right.
And you guys get to decide, but the real money's not watching. Real people that have are running real things, they're not watching Facebook and Instagram. They're not looking at my ads. Right. So I got to hit them so many times that they hear about me through somebody else. Like we just bought a deal in off-market deal in Houston, Texas. It's $80+ million. I bought it from one of the biggest apartment owners in the world called Fairfield Residential. It's owned by Brookfield, which is a multi-billion-dollar company. I called the guy and said, hey, I want to buy this deal. He doesn't know me from Adam. So I'm completely cold called. Man, I got a YouTube channel. He's like, dude, he doesn't look at YouTube. He's my age. He's running a, right, Ryan? You think there's any chance this guy's ever been on Facebook?
Probably not.
No. doesn't have an Instagram. Probably can't even see it on his phone. Wouldn't know how to download the app. Okay, so that's the reality that sometimes these guys won't tell you. Hey, not everybody's looking at this stuff.
Right. Sure.
But I got on his calendar. I knew how to talk to him over the phone. Got a meeting with him because I knew how to commit him to a meeting. Mm-hmm. Okay. Knew what to tell him, which was I want to overpay for your property. I know it's not for sale, but everything is at a price, and I know what that price is, and I'm willing to pay that price, and I'm willing to close quick, and you can write the terms, and you can write the PSA, and da-da-da-da-da, right? And just pencil me into your calendar, man. It's worth a conversation, right? He puts me on his calendar. His kid, 19 years old, walks in. You got a meeting with him? Because his kid sees me on YouTube.
Right.
Yeah.
And that kid actually gave me the extra. So that's kind of a long answer. I don't expect a billionaire or a guy that's buying a $16 million house to watch me on YouTube. And if he does, he's probably not going to like whatever you're putting on there to get the attention of somebody that'll buy a $100,000 house.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's the other complexity. Like, we just lost a deal with a group called Pimco because of my YouTube channel.
We
lost a deal because the Pimco is a very, very conservative company. And they said, hey, he's just too public.
Wow.
And they gave it to the other buyer. So why? Why? Because that's not their, so, you know,
right.
In front of the curtain, everything out there, transparency is not their deal. But they know my name.
Yes, they do.
Now they know my name. And by the way, when we lost the deal, like, how long was it before I was following them up? Right.
The next day.
No, I mean, that night. Hey, guys, understand you picked somebody else. Wow, man, I really wanted this deal. Okay, I'll take it. I got it. I'll get the next one from you. So I'm already following these people up because I'll do a deal with them. I need them. So I don't want to make them wrong. I want to be in agreement with them, keep nurturing a relationship. You know, like the loss could actually make them remember me longer than the win.
Mm-hmm.
As far as deals go, so we're all real estate agents coming across different deals. You're
except
in a
for this dude.
Except for this guy, finance guy. I'm
a loan officer,
okay.
Yep.
So if we come across a deal in our market, what does it have to be worth in order for you to look at it?
300 units.
300 units. Yeah. Who would we send the information to?
Ryan at CardoneCapital.com.
Ryan at
CardoneCapital. R-Y-A-N. I mean, 280, 300, 320, 400, 500. Bigger the better.
Bigger the better.
We love. Look, what marketplace are you in?
Greater Philadelphia area.
Okay. I mean, you guys that are in this marketplace, I love this marketplace. Mm. Anything Virginia, D.C., Baltimore, like this marketplace is like unbelievable.
Are you, what the?
This marketplace. What did I tell you on the ride over here? Hollywood comes to D.C. D.C. doesn't go to Hollywood. This is probably the most powerful, like zip code in the United States today. And it's not going to stop. Money will continue to move here because of its proximity to all decisions. And politicians now are completely connected with celebrity. TV, media, it's just going to keep coming here. Mm-hmm. Not stoppable.
So we have an opportunity with my investment group to buy a lot of properties in Baltimore.
Uh-huh.
So since you mentioned that you'll be interested in that.
Yeah.
Because
I mean, I don't love Baltimore because of some inner city problems that it has, but
there's some new stuff coming out.
Huh?
Because there's a real coming true ball.
Yeah.
So there's some big changes.
Yeah. Hey, we're interested.
Is there a specific cap rate that you guys are looking for? Depend upon
we don't buy on cap rate.
No, what do you guys buy on?
Opportunities. People that buy on cap rates don't buy deals.
They're not buying that mass amount of deals, right?
They're not buying deals. No. You shouldn't buy on one metric. You should buy on the deal.
What are the big things you look at?
We look at location. We look at, we have time on our side. So if I have, how much time do I have? And then I'm like, oh, okay. We look for garden style. We like garden. Like if you look at all our stuff, it kind of looks similar. We're buying newer stuff right now, not older stuff. I think the value add thing is overplayed. Meaning you go fix something, the opportunity is to fix it. And we look for debt. Debt's really important. What else, Ryan? What are we looking for?
Are you a real estate agent looking to grow your business in the D.C., Maryland, Virginia area? The Kerry Scholl and Orange Line Living team is looking for talented, motivated people who want to be a part of a collaborative and competitive team poised to become number one in the world by 2021. Our new agents have success at a rate that is nearly 9 times the industry average, and our experienced agents average over $252,000 a year. Our industry-leading lead generation, training, and support systems put our agents in the best possible position for success. If you want to work hard, serve more clients, have fun, and make more money, then call us today at 703-661-9756 or go to KerryShullCareers.com.
Jobs. We look for jobs.
Yeah, he's looking for supply, demand, all the drivers that you want, like Austin, Texas right now. We love the tech, with all the jobs coming there.
Orlando.
Orlando, healthcare. Tampa. We're always following Tampa. Healthcare. Houston's a big market for us. We love the health, all the hospitals. But going back to your cap rate question, if you look at cap rates across the United States, we see all the same stuff, right? Mm-hmm. The good quality assets are going anywhere between 4 and 5 caps. That's kind of the
you would never buy in this area if that's what you were looking at.
They're four or five
caps. Terrible.
Is it lower?
It's like 4 or less.
Yeah, but it's not. But
I mean,
see, now
that's all you're looking at.
Now the question is that terrible?
Right.
Or does that mean people can't buy now? Because if I look back over my 30 years, if I'd have bought lower cap rates, I'd have made more money. If I'd have bought lower cap rates over the last 30 years, I would have made more money when I exit or refinance.
Because where the value is not.
They explode, man. Okay? High cap rates don't explode. They just mush out. So you depend on cash flow. But in the beginning, if you're a beginning real estate investor, you need cash flow.
Mm-hmm.
You need margin of cash flow, too. But the way to be a beginner is and not go through that period of I got to buy value add, fix stuff up, flip, carry a Glock to the property, knock on doors and collect rents, which is what you'll have to do to get the 12s and the 15s. Yep. The way to not do that is to find a guy that operates the way we do and roll with him, right? Like go with him on the deal. So what I'm doing right now has not been done in America yet, which is I'm buying deals that Blackstone is bidding on, or what's some other groups that we bought from? Alliance or Goldman Sachs or J.P. Morgan. I walked away from a deal. J.P. Morgan walked in. So why would I buy that deal? Because if I buy a deal, J.P. Morgan's still there the next day to buy it from me. J.P. Morgan will always have money. J.P. Morgan has to do deals. J.P. Morgan's got a money problem. And their money problem is different than selling to a doctor. They have too much money. they have to place money, like, they push money in warehouses. They like, okay, we need to do $80 billion. Like, we were on the phone with a guy, Depeche, yesterday. He's like, Grant, we already have $2 billion alone set aside for January. Like, they're pushing $2 billion here, $7 billion here. They're trying to manage activity for a year, right? So their deal is different. So we want to go after those guys that have the big, giant problems, which is, I need $80 billion of this. Mm-hmm. And they would buy our entire portfolio from us. That's the target on Cardone Capital, is that we would accumulate. You would become investors with me. We would accumulate enough great product together, because they're not going to buy that garbage. So we could go to Goldman or Blackstone and say, hey, we want you to take the whole package as real estate, not as paper. And then they do their magic. And their magic is, okay, we buy the property from Cardone Capital. We turn it into magic, paper, right? We convert the real estate, the concrete, into, you know the game.
Yeah.
We convert it into, and then we sit down in the laboratory and we mix it. And we say, it is now worth la 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 la. And then we sell it to grandmothers across the world as a REIT.
Yeah.
And that's where we'll make the money. So Blackstone, they don't care how much profit they pay me. All they're looking at is how much can we make when we take it from concrete to a piece of paper. And that's where they make all their crazy money.
What's the minimum amount of money needed to invest that?
100.
100?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I thought my goal was for 2019.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The stock market taking a tank like it is right now, is it scary? Is where
it's good for me. I wish it would just puke all over the
right.
I love it. Yeah. I wish it would puke over on everybody. I hope it bruises beats up everybody that's in it. and everybody that loses money deserves it.
Mm. Yeah.
It's not a good place for people to be.
Yeah. Do you say you don't put anything?
It's a place that's, you know, you're not told the truth about it. Mm-hmm. The media's in cahoots with the Wall Street.
Yeah, the government.
You only get the reports of companies that are doing good until it's too late.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know, if GE's not doing good, they just take it out of the S&P 500. They move it over here. They replace it with a company that's doing good. It's all bullshit. It's complete. Total,
yes.
That guy in New York that does the shell game. Mm. This is totally
what
they do.
Yep.
Totally.
I mean, I let my securities license go 6 years ago, and I'm on YouTube just making noise about. That's why I follow you so much.
Yeah.
We're like on the same wavelength.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I tell business owners, I say you should never have your money in the stock market.
Yeah, yeah.
You should be either reinvesting back in your company, have your money packed in life insurance, and then you flip it.
Uh-huh.
Use the insurance company money to invest back in your company so you're still protecting your family while you're doing what you need to do. And, I mean, I say, if you look at the Facebook, when he started, he didn't take his money and invest in the stock market.
No, dude.
He invested back in his company
company. And he wasn't in multiple companies.
No.
He did not, what's the word, diversify.
No.
He was all in on Facebook.
Right.
Warren Buffett didn't diversify. Exactly. So, you see, Wall Street makes it, oh, you got to diversify. Warren Buffett made all his money, started making money when he was 50-plus years old, right, which should be an inspiration to everybody. Mm-hmm. Number one, he started really late. Two, he took big positions in companies. He didn't buy stock. He has never bought stocks. So all these memes you see about, oh, he bought his first stock when he was 14. Yeah, but so what? That's not how he got rich.
No.
And he got rich because he took positions in companies that all of them produce cash flow.
Right.
See's Candy, Coca-Cola. These are real estate plays. Coca-Cola is a total real estate play. You can't sell Coca-Cola if you're not on a shelf. Right? How do you buy shelf space? Sell Coca-Cola. Produce revenue. Get back on the shelf. Best shelf in every grocery store. And so, you know, Warren Buffett bought one house his whole life. It's not included. People hate me. I know you guys got a bunch of complaints about me ragging on real estate as an investment.
There's not. I mean, you're right.
But it's not an investment. It's like a house.
True.
Mm-hmm. It's a place for your dog to piss.
Yeah. It's one of Maslow's hierarchy of needs. You need to have something, and most people need it.
where I think it's beneficial is, like, most people don't have the discipline they weren't
right.
owning to save money,
right.
and owning forces them to save
that's
paying
right.
their mortgage
that's right.
down.
Totally agree with that. Mm-hmm. I agree with that.
So in higher markets, like I'm in Manhattan and I need to start buying property.
Yeah.
I have a couple friends that would invest in me. I'm looking at Baltimore, but Baltimore is a risky play.
Yeah, it
you
is.
Get the higher caps.
Yeah. Yeah.
And to have to come down with a Glock is not that exciting.
No.
So looking at other properties, but it's also figuring out if I'm just focused on real estate, in order to increase cash flow, like you have sales training, you can create more modules, more videos, more everything.
That's right.
The other option is go into coaching. You can sell programs that way.
Yeah.
What other models are possible just based off of, like, I can create a YouTube channel and be a speaker, which would be sweet.
Yeah, I mean, I would like anything that will produce income, I would look at doing, right? So, dude, anything that produces income, like anything, like why do you think you have to go do, you could just go to a street corner and start raising money, washing windshields. I know that's beyond you.
I'll do it.
No, you won't. You won't. Yeah. I'll do anything. You won't do anything. So, you know, I'm just saying, like, you don't have to create a business to raise money. Everybody complicates this. I could literally go outside. I'll promise you at this table I could raise $500 right now. And with that hotel, I could go out there and get $5,000. I just got to go up to people and ask them, hey, man, would you please lend me $100 and I'm never going to pay you back. You know?
That's true.
And then start doing that over and over. Can I scale that? Or can I just get the money I need and then start creating, okay, what products do I want? Can I do a webinar? Is it valuable enough? Nobody's going to come to the webinar if they don't know me, right? So you start running up against this. It's like a bumper car thing.
Absolutely.
Okay, I'm going to do the webinar. I'm brilliant. People like me. They're going to listen to me. Oh, nobody knows me. Oh, I got a problem.
Yeah.
So it's like, so that's why it's your home. At home, you guys all got to be on the same page about what we're doing here. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, it's going to be like, when do we get to just relax? Then you're going to start getting all this conflict.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the wear and tear on the machinery. So at my house, we don't have that conflict. We have conflicts, but it's not that.
Start with the idea, and then you have an idea, and then you decide, this is X money that I need. I'm going to go get that money. Is that where it starts? Or?
Well, it's like, what's the idea?
No, I'm asking you.
What's the idea you're having, though?
Oh, my idea?
Yeah.
My idea is to take the fancy clothes that only 300 women in the world can afford and use technology to make them accessible to most women.
Mm-hmm.
So every woman will dress from now on custom fit clothing. Like I'm wearing right now, like I had these clothes made. I made the patterns myself. I had them custom fitted to my body.
Yeah.
And it's comfortable and it meets my needs and it also meets societal expectations.
Yeah.
And so my idea is to replicate that process and make it available to every woman. So then
what I would try to figure out, you know, is I would try to figure out how do you start doing it right now and funding this weekend. How can you get? Oh, thanks, man.
Of course.
How can you get that funded today? Skip the manufacturing. Like, how can you figure out how would somebody pay you to do that right now? It's coming, man. It's coming. It's coming.
I'm really hungry.
Manage yourself, man.
We hope you enjoyed today's episode of the Hyper Fast Agent Podcast. Our goal is to give you access to nationally recognized specialists like Grant Cardone to help you grow your business hyper fast. In return, we ask for you to subscribe to the podcast, share it with others who might benefit from the content, and let us know who you'd like us to interview in the future. Thank you for tuning in to this episode of the Hyper Fast Show. Subscribe to us if you want to make sure you get the latest and greatest Hyper Fast shows. And remember, we love reviews. Reviews help us bring better and better guests and improve our shows. So give us the good, the bad, and the ugly. We hope you enjoyed the show, and we will see you next time.